There's an old saying, don't judge a book by its cover. Time and again in my lifetime, I have found this to be true. How often is it that the most unsuspecting person turns out to be just the opposite of what they seem to portray? In many instances, the most unsuspecting person turns out to be the one who contributes the most to life. They travel under the radar of fame and glory, but turn out to be the ones who have contributed the most. One only has to look at the teaching profession. And of course, on this Mother's Day, we rightly give recognition to our mothers as being foremost in this category. Yes, the most unsuspecting people often have contributed the most to societies throughout the ages. They also have become history makers who have signaled changes or milestones in history. This morning in the book of Acts, we have one such individual, Stephen. But before we discuss him, we need to take a glimpse of the story of the very beginnings of the early church in which Stephen lived. Now, after the death of Jesus, the apostles, fearful and delusioned, were changed with the experience of the risen Christ. This experience gave them new life and meaning so as to give them a new direction for the future. Upon Pentecost, they were inflamed with the zeal and power of God, which led them to teach others about this Jesus. The message of Jesus was spreading. Peter had undoubtedly taken leadership of this early band of followers of Christ. Although these apostles and early followers seemed to have enjoyed a brief period of time in which they escaped the scrutiny of the Sanhedrin or the powers that be, and escaped the persecution for being a follower of Jesus. But this would quickly change. Peter and John, in going into the temple one day, came across a lame beggar. And the beggar, seeking alms, stopped the two. But instead of giving him money, Peter healed this long-time beggar. People who witnessed this were amazed. This led the authorities to arrest Peter and John because people started to look at these followers of Jesus. The next day, before the Sanhedrin, they were asked by what power they had healed this unfortunate human being. Peter responded, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are questioned today because of a good deed done to someone who was sick, and ask how this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that this man standing before you in good health by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead." Now, after further questioning, they warned Peter and John not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. Even though they refused to agree, Peter and John were released with another stern warning. This was the beginning sign of what was to come. Peter and the apostles continued to teach and heal right in front of the Sanhedrin, right in front of the authorities in the temple. This time they were all arrested and thrown into prison. During that night, an angel came and released them from their imprisonment. The next day, the Sanhedrin called for the prisoners, but the guards found them missing. But the gates of the prison still locked. And when they returned with that report, the authorities were perplexed and sent the guards to search for them. But to their alarm, they received the report that these escapees were right in under their nose, again teaching in the temple. How dare they? They were again brought before the authorities, who questioned them. Look, we gave you strict orders not to teach in this manner. Yet, here you have filled Jerusalem with your teachings, and you are determined to bring this man's blood on us. How dare you? But Peter and the disciples did not back down, which only enraged the authorities. So they wanted to kill him. It was one of the elders, Gamaliel, with his wisdom, changed their minds, and then Peter and the apostles were again released after being flogged and warned again. This was all for naught, for the apostles continued teaching and healing. During the days which followed, numbers increased. Now, it may be said that these apostles would be the last people to lead a movement which would change the world. They were totally unsuspected, since they were not educated men, not educated in the formal avenues of knowledge. They were just common men. But what set them apart was that they did have the advantage of being with Jesus as his disciple. And they did experience the risen Christ. Very unassuming people. You would never expect them to lead such a movement. But now the story unfolds, and it is about a totally unsuspecting man again, with a not so unsuspecting outcome. In order to fulfill the Jewish law of taking care of those in need through the collection of money and food for the widows and poor, the apostles had their followers select seven men. Seven men of good standing, full of spirit and of wisdom, whom we may appoint for this task, they said. This they did, for they appointed from among them a man by the name of Stephen. We know so very little about him, except we are told that he was full of grace and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. In the synagogue, he would get the upper hand in debates and arguments. So a plot arose to get rid of him. He was seized and brought before the authorities. And it's recorded, they set up false witnesses who said, "This man never stops saying things against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs that Moses handed on to us." And then comes the interesting observation. "And all who sat in the council looked intently at him," this unsuspecting person, "and they saw that his face was like the face of an angel." Now, Stephen seems to have come out of nowhere, for he is not mentioned prior to this and is now front and center as an important figure in the early Christian church. This is totally unsuspected. In his trial before the authorities, he showed a thorough knowledge of God's revelations through the history of the Hebrews. He ended his rather long dissertation with these damning comments: "You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you are forever opposing the Holy Spirit, just as your ancestors used to do. Which of the prophets did your ancestors not persecute? They killed those who foretold the coming of the righteous one, and now you have become his betrayers and murderers. You are the ones that received the law as ordained by angels, and yet not kept it." That's a lowly man, condemning the authorities. Needless to say, these prophetic words enraged those who heard them. And then when Stephen gazed into heaven, the council covered their ears when Stephen said, "Look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." Now with this, they seized him and dragged him out of the city and stoned him to death, a horrible death. Before he died, he knelt down and cried out, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." It wasn't Peter or John or any of the original apostles who became the first martyr of the early church. Instead, it was this unsuspecting victim, Stephen, who we know so little about, was the first to die in the name of Christ. One has to wonder about the impact that Stephen had upon those early apostles and followers of Christ. His unswerving faith must have instilled a fervor which would create a determination to continue to witness to the good news of the risen Christ. Therefore, the movement did not falter because of this. Contrary to that, it continued to grow and grow and grow. You know, although we are not being called to make such a life-condemning sacrifice, We all, though, being called to make the same witness with Stephen exemplified, regardless of the sacrifices it may mean in our lives. When we are able to do this, then we realize that to live this love of God is not a sacrifice, not at all, but truly a blessing. Sacrifices in the name of God's love bring with it the joy of finding meaning to life and to be able to gaze into the heavens and see his eternal love for us. You know, this morning, we're especially cognizant of such undying sacrifice. When we celebrate the lives of our mothers, their almost unfathomable love has quietly helped to nurture us into the person we are today. Think about it. They are truly the often unrecognized ground upon which our society is built. It is this mother's love and sacrifice which should be our living example, leading us to the love of God as Stephen discovered in his life. This example should instill in us to be that unsuspecting person who may have a profound influence in the life we live. We could have that influence. You and I may just be that unsuspecting person who will bring such love and joy to someone who is in need of the good news, of the good news of love which we can share. That's what we have to offer. May take sacrifice, yes, but all the joy of sharing that love. That's what it's about.